When you run a staffing firm and help augment teams in technology companies or run software development projects, you learn a lot about remote work. Adrian Esquivel joins me, the author of The Future of the Workforce Is Now, to talk remote work on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Your clients are looking for proactive cyber resilience and you to be their virtual chief information security officer to assess their security posture, enhance compliance readiness, and reduce their cyber risk. Want to do that at scale? Sonomi's AI-driven vCISO platform helps managed service providers and consulting firms make their customers cyber resilient. Try it today. Visit Sonomi.com and book a demo. Tell them you heard about it on The Business of Tech. That's CYNOMI.com. Adrian, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Now, I got to start with, how did you get interested in researching and writing about remote work?
We've been in the tech space, or I've been in the tech space for 20 something years. And, you know, our company, TechPert, we provide IT and technical workforce for clients. And, you know, our, you know, pre-pandemic, during the pandemic, after the pandemic, you know, we've always provided, you know, a technical workforce for our clients, and they're always distributed and spread around the country. So, you know, we've been doing this for a long time and thought one day, hey, you know, let's write about it and put it out there, see if we can help some people who are trying to navigate this.
So how do you summarize your sort of philosophy to remote work?
You know, it's not for everyone. Number one, right? So I think someone that has the responsibility to be able to, and the discipline to be able to, you know, kind of lock in at home and not be distracted and be able to execute and do their work, can be successful at doing this, right? And I think that's one of the things that you have to have. Plus, you know, the work that you're doing has to be able to be performed where, you know, it's remote and not in the office.
So you say, you know, it's not for everyone. What defines the people that it's not for in your mind?
You know, I think you have to be able to be, have that self-starter. You have to be a self-starter. You have to be, you know, responsible. You have to be able to manage your time effectively. You have to be a good communicator, right? We're communicating over video today and we're talking, and, you know, you can do that. We do this all the time with coworkers, right? So being able to do that, but also, you know, being able to just communicate in general. Some people kind of, you know, they're in their office, they're alone, and they kind of think that there's no one there, but, you know, everybody's just a message away, a Slack message away, an email away, or a video chat away. So, you know, being able to communicate and wanting to communicate is very important, you know, for that. So.
Now, one of the things that people are constantly talking about in this space is that if you're working remotely or you have distributed teams, that you lose the serendipitous exchange, right? The magical serendipitous exchange. What's your approach when you're building teams and working with customers to build remote teams to instill and address that concern?
The presence and the communications is so important, right? So in the course of a day, a work day, right? You're going to have meetings, right? You're going to have your normal, say, depending on what kind of work you're doing, you may have a stand-up meeting in the morning. You may have normal scheduled recurring, you know, meetings throughout the day or week. Those are going to happen, right? So you're going to have conversation. You're going to have communication with people, right? But I go back to what I was saying before, which is, you know, willing to communicate, you know, when you have an idea, when you have something that, you know, or you have that aha moment or something that you have to share, you know, get with, you know, kind of get out there and, you know, talk to people, right? You know, work on that idea, you know, set up a call. Say, hey, I had this, you know, solution, I think, for this challenge that we're facing now. Let's all, you know, get together real quick and talk about that. So kind of jump, you know, taking that initiative and saying, you know, here's something that, you know, that I want to communicate with my fellow coworkers about to work through a solution. Doing that, right? Don't let those things just kind of, you know, be forgotten, right? Like, oh, you know, I'll take care of that later when I have some time. No, you know, communicate with your coworkers and work together on ideas.
Now, you've written a book on that. So you've written the book, The Future of the Workforce is Now. And I wanted to ask, in the book, give me a little bit of a taste of the way that you approach team management and what you recommend to help managers think about the way that they should be managing their teams. And then, of course, recommending to customers to do it that way.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're in the tech space, so I think we've always had an advantage, right, in terms of, you know, how we work, right? In our company specifically, you know, we're born and we're, it's fairly new, right? 10 plus years old, right? But, you know, a lot of companies, a lot of businesses have been doing things a certain way for a long time, right? So, you know, we always, you know, we've used certain tools that were, you know, for project management, for your task management, you know, from day one. And we've made that really part of our process. And so our process have always been, you know, written or defined by the fact that, you know, we were leveraging these technology tools, like a project management tool, like a chat tool. You know, in our space, again, we use, you know, in software development delivery, we use, you know, agile development methodology, and we use software to help manage that process. So we were always, our processes and our tools have always been, you know, tech-based, you know, internet-based, SaaS-based, right? So, you know, those are things that you know, that every single day that we use, and our teams are managed like that, right? And so, you know, I think that, you know, if I gave advice to a lot of companies that maybe were, you know, doing things, you know, a different way, an older way, right, or a manual way, is, you know, to start, you know, digitizing those things first, right? Digitize those processes, get those workflows defined, and so that you can start leveraging tools, right, so that you can effectively manage people that are remote, right? But processes and workflows have to be well defined, and a lot of times, you know, people, you know, again, I try to, you know, use the example of pre-pandemic, may not have really thought about those things because everyone was just right down the hall or, you know, in the office. And, you know, depending on the size of organization, some of those processes and workflows weren't as well defined. But I'd always start there first. That's where I always start first, to be able to effectively have a team that is remote that you can manage.
Okay. I want to get you to react to a couple of premises and get your take on what's going on. So one of the things that I've posited out in the market is that a lot of the pushback we're getting is a lot of old school managers that are not willing to embrace new approaches, partly because it's just hard, right? So when you have, you know, CEOs saying, oh, come back into the office, it's because that they're used to a particular way and it's just difficult to do it another. In a way, like it'd almost be summarized, you know, can you teach an old dog new tricks? What's your take on that premise, that it's just stodgy management that's resisting this?
I don't know. It's kind of loaded, I think, in terms of a question, because, you know, it's you know, there's a lot of reasons, right? Like, people want people back in the office. They want people collaborating, like you had mentioned before. Maybe that serendipitous moment, right? Like they want to get that back. You know, they're paying rent on big space, and they want people in there. You know, that you have, you know, managers who just want to do things the old school way. So there's a lot of factors there going on to why, you know, just get back in here and let's get back to it. There's some control things there, like, you know, like you control things better, you know. So look, I think that, you know, I think workforce is changing. You know, you have different generations that are coming into the workforce, that are establishing themselves in the workforce. You know, it's going to change whether you like it or not. You know, now what's the balance, right? I think that's what we look for in anything, right? The balance, the equilibrium in that, right? So, you know, some things will continue to be 100% fully remote like they were before the pandemic, right? And operated just fine. You know, some things will return 100% back into the office, and there will be, that's just the way it is, right? And then there will be a great medium, right? Between, you know, what we call the hybrid, right? Which is a combination of in you know, in-house and remote, but it's not going to go away, and it is changing, and it will change. And that's just how, you know, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to adopt something and at some point, right? You can't just go back to how things used to be. That's my opinion.
What do you think of when you say the workforce is changing? Is that generational? Is it just expectations? What do you mean by that?
So yes, I would say it's you know, I would say part of it's generational, right? But I think also it's you know, the technology, and it's allowing for that, right? And so, you know, you know when you try to bring in the best talent to an organization, right? You know, you don't want to be necessarily limited to what geographic region either, right? That they have to physically be in my city or my location or located just, you know, a commute away, right? And, you know, if they're looking at density in certain metropolitan areas, that continues to increase in certain areas, and traffic keeps getting worse in a lot of major cities, right? So, and a lot of companies are going to be based in there, and they don't want to necessarily say, well, you know, I need to hire someone here who can make the, you know, come into the office every day or two days a week, right? So, you're opening up your talent pool, right? When you do adopt, you know, remote work, you know, as a way of, you know, operating in your organization, you're going to be able to go out and hire someone that's the best fit for you and best fit for the project or the company, you know, by opening up that talent pool and not having that geographic restriction to it.
Now, you're probably doing a lot of hiring because if you're supplementing teams in companies, you know, you're bringing a lot of people. How tight are you finding the market right now? I look at all the data, but how are you seeing it out in the field?
Yeah, no, I would say that's right with what we see, right? So we're, you know, every day we're, you know, we have a recruiting team and they're working every day on fulfilling roles for our clients. We do see that there is, you know, there is challenges, right? I see the roles that are more successful in filling and finding the right candidates tend to be ones that have more flexibility. Some of our clients, we're based in Florida, a lot of business down here in Florida, and we're seeing net migration positive here in the state, and in South Florida. So we're seeing people that want to move here, right? So that is helping our clients here that do require, in office or some kind of hybrid, you know, type of role. So that's helping, right? That this is an area where people are moving to. But you know, it's improving. You know, I think it's improving. You know, but it's still you know, pretty tight, I would say.
Now I'm gonna throw out another premise, and I want to get your reaction to it. I posit that those technology companies that are not just deploying solutions out to the customer, but are also investing in training and helping their customers achieve cultural change, particularly as it relates to remote work, are the ones that are going to deliver the most successful projects. What's your take on that premise?
So, do you mean on the education side, on like upskilling? Or reskilling, or is it more just kind of training to adopt to that environment?
It's intentionally broad, but if I'm leaning into one of those two, it's around the management changes, the kinds of things you talk about in the book, that you actually can train customers how to be effective using these remote technologies, and you'll end up delivering more successful projects.
Oh yeah. So I think that it's how we, you know, how we, let's take the example of like software development projects and IT projects. And a lot of that, you know, there is some, depending on the complexity of the project, it's going to require some in-person type of interaction, right? But for the most part, most of these projects can be done, you know, 100% remote. And they're using, you know, certain tools and software tools to deliver the project. And sometimes clients may not be so, you know, used to those things, right? And some of our clients and some of the organizations have their own ways of how they manage, how they manage projects, right? And you know, maybe they're not so used to kind of how, you know, other, you know, other different companies and other teams may use, you know, to deliver on projects. So, you know, what we like to do is kind of just, you know, say, look, here's how, you know, just in a normal project, here are some of the elements of the management, right? And, you know, we have these meetings, we have stakeholder meetings, right? We have, you know, tasks and milestones that are defined, and things that have been around for a long time, right? These are not new concepts. But, you know, they're, you know, now, whereas sometimes these meetings take place, a lot of them now are being taken remote, right? So how to adapt that, right? And now we're having, like, you know, these online virtual meetings or remote meetings versus in-person meetings. So we like to just, you know, and I think a lot of, you know, today now, you know, the last 2-3 years, a lot of people are used to that already, you know, so it's not a big shock to them, right? So it's just adapting those new communication, you know, the ways of communicating and exchanging, you know, information into those projects that they may not have been used to before, so.
Gotcha. If people are interested in learning more, how can they get more resources and you know, continue exploring the topic?
Yeah. So, you know, they can visit our website. That's techbert.com. That's spelled T-E-C-K-P-E-R-T. .com. You know, we have a blog there. We write a bunch on just tech in general and obviously about the workforce and the tech workforce. We have some white papers that we've created on, you know, staff augmentation, which is an area that we focus on a lot in, as well as digital transformation. And there's also a link to our book there. That you can go to the Future of the Workforce is Now. And there's a link on our website there. And there's just, you know, if you're interested in some of the stuff that we do, there's information on what we do here at TechBird as well.
Awesome. Well, Adrian, thanks for joining me today. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you for having me.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.